And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Electronic Prior Authorization RFI Task Force. We are always happy to have you join us. And your feedback is welcome during the meeting, which can be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or can be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:20 Eastern Time this morning. I'm going to begin with roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Cheryl, have an audio problem.
Yep, oh, there you good are. Good morning. Thanks,
I got it. Great. Tammy Banks.
Good morning, everybody.
Hans Buttendeck.
Good morning.
Dave DeGandy.
Good morning.
Budge Gavarty.
Good morning.
Tim Churges.
Good morning.
Rich Landon.
Good morning.
Heather McComas.
Good morning.
Patrick Murda.
Good morning.
Elio Oliveira.
Good morning.
And Deborah Strickland.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. And now please join me in welcoming Cheryl and Tammy for their open remarks.
Thank you so much, Michael. And we have a big meeting today because we are trying to wrap up all of the input and the documentation, as well as the recommendations that have been made. And so Tammy's going to lead us through that work in a few moments. Then we have the opportunity again for public comment, and we'll discuss if there is any homework. I know that one, I want to thank everyone for their input on the Google documentation. We got a lot of input. We got a lot of robust conversation. I want to thank Hans for the presentation that he did last week. I think that was very helpful to all of us, and to provide that structure to look at the capabilities across the workflow and help us determine and better assess where we are in terms of maturity, as well as certification ready requirements. So thank everybody for their input on those documents and our recommendations. The hope is that as a result of our meeting today, we'll be able to put our final recommendations and our responses to the RFI questions into a document as well as a presentation. And we will review, hopefully, the focus of that on our Monday meeting, which we're going to have. And I just want to remind everybody, even before we get to the homework, that our meeting next week is on Monday morning at the similar time, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tammy for any open remarks and to go through the working documents. But thank you all very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Trying to get the screen share, if you could allow me to do that. What I'm hopeful today is I pulled the recommendations as best I could for certain topics, and I want to go through those and make sure that we're in agreement with how those recommendations are laid out. I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time wordsmithing, but I want to make sure the content's there and the key elements that we need for just laying out these recommendations. The document will be open. So if there is wordsmithing, again, if we can keep doing that behind the scenes, and I just want to thank the majority of you who have been going back and forth on several of these points. So you'll see that they have been incorporated, and I'll be continuing to look at that Google Doc to inform as we drop this into the report. All right, it still didn't work. Just a second. Okay. The first place I want to start is with standards and regulations. I know we didn't talk about this a whole lot, but I did pull five recommendations in regard to this. And I just want to make sure that, again, we are all on board with what I've written here, or provide me your feedback. I'm not going to read this, but is this large enough so you guys can read it?
Yes, it's readable, Tammy.
Okay, if you guys could take a minute and read it, and if there's any concerns or any comments, please let me know. Silence is going to be acceptance, so please be vocal today.
Cheryl, may I make a comment there?
Yes.
On the OIG guidance?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd suggest that rather than stating through EMR or other HIT vendor, just to state through HIT vendor.
I am sorry, Hans. I know you made those changes and I didn't catch that. Thank you.
So Tammy, it's Patrick on bullet number two. Mm-hmm. A certification should support the complete PA workflow. Is that where we officially landed as opposed to the individual components and a overall certification?
Is it still that this leaves open whether the certification could be in multiple parts?
This is a really good question, Patrick. This was a recommendation we had for the standards. And the main point was the harmonization of ONC and HIPAA. So I think you're right. We'd need to rephrase it. Either the end goal is the certification would support the complete PA workflow, right? But we Correct. Are looking at an integrated step. So what if I go the end goal?
Should we, would one recommendation be that certification ought to have the end goal in mind while early versions may certify a portion? Is that what we're saying here? Like, for example,
yeah.
We're talking about one early thing might be, does this patient need a prior auth? And if so, what data do they need, right? That could be, but in the end, we want it to be far more than that.
Okay, so help me here. So the certification should have the end goal of supporting the complete PA workflow, even though
or however the individual components can be certified as well to support incremental delivery.
The individual implementation guides, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking about, Dave. Or somebody said no.
What did you use the right word for this? It wasn't functional criteria, it was however the individual
implementation guides?
No, because we're talking about the functional criteria within the implementation guides.
Call it components.
Yeah,
the individual.
Individual components, that's it.
Yeah.
And then he wants you to add certification program at the beginning.
Okay, let's get Patrick's things in here and then we'll go back. Let's see. However, the individual components can be
certified and implemented incrementally.
Yeah, but won't we want to make sure, I mean, bad would be that we land in a place where people can forever just pick a portion of it.
But should independently be in there somewhere?
What's that?
That's a reason.
Patrick, I'm getting confused here, just a second. So certified and implemented
incrementally.
Oh gosh, I need more coffee, sorry. And then the certification program. Yeah, okay, I'm with you guys now. Now go back to the conversation.
the only problem I have is we want to make sure we land in a place where, though we celebrate incrementalism initially, we don't land in a place where vendors or providers can simply stop with a portion of it. We want to land in a place where the entire workflow is.
Okay, we're going to get there. This section is just targeted to the standards and regulations. So the really big point is, as the certification is rolled out, that both ONC and HIPAA regs have to be able to update and change independently. That's the key thing of that bullet. because what we have right now is the 278 is a mandated standard. And so in order to exchange that prior auth, you got to convert the FHIR to 278 and then convert it back to however the end user wants it. And so what these five bullets are basically saying is you can have two different standards, name standards in use. And that also we need to make sure that the exception approval process is going to be less burdensome, right? So that you can more like a submit it and then it would automatically be approved. So you don't have to use that 278 if you're doing this DaVinci end-to-end workflow within the HIT and have that extra burden of that investment. Again, I'm saying a name standard, not any standard out in the universe. And so that's kind of what those three middle bullets are about, is how we really got to rethink HIPAA. And we can't just have one standard when we have two different business uses here, right? One is coming through the revenue cycle with a 278 and potentially a CCDA attachment, which, you know, is currently in flight today, and moving toward the HIT vendor workflow, which then would be using the DaVinci functional standards and criteria. So my long-winded statement was just to say, this is the key thing of that sentence for the standard and regulation changes or considerations in order to even make this work and be efficient.
I think, Tammy, you have two people raised hands.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hans.
Perhaps to further allow for that is that after the words complete PA workflow,
yes,
indicate across one or more provider and payer HIT. Because I think the challenge here is that we recognize that there is multiple HIT on both sides in play, and we need to make it work across all of them.
Doesn't it imply that though?
I'm based on some of the statements made,
no, that's a good point.
Interpreted that way.
Or we can go across all stakeholder vendor systems, right? Or systems.
Yeah, I'm still hearing at times that the interpretation would be that the singular HIT in the end, not necessarily initially and incrementally, but in the end would do everything. I think that's not necessarily accurate, even for long term. It's still multiple HITs in play.
Okay, anybody have issue to that change? Silence is accepted. Okay, Rich?
I think overall, all five bullets are pretty strong and clear, and I'm happy to see this in here. My one concern is in the first bullet, the end of the second sentence, we've got the term on the preference of the payer. While technically I think that's okay, I'm a little worried about the language in terms of unintended consequences and would suggest we just put the period after either FHIR or X12 based. Taking out the language preference of the payer, obviously in the context here, we're talking about intermediaries acting on behalf of the payer, so it's redundant. And I fear a little bit that if we leave in the language on the preference of payer, that might bias other actions to say, heck, the task force said that the payer should determine what the arrangement is, not the provider. So I'd rather stay silent on that rather than be on record as something that can be misinterpreted fairly easily.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tammy. I would agree with that change.
Okay,
I think this is talking about the behind the intermediary. The provider talks directly to the intermediary using FHIR, and then behind the scenes, the intermediary can talk to the payer using X12 or FHIR. And so that X12 or FHIR question isn't exposed to the provider. It's exposed to the payer.
Understood. But I'm still worried about it being taken out of context. And the first part of that sentence says an intermediary acting on behalf of the payer makes it real clear what, you know, what you just described.
What do you think if I move it out of the standards and regulatory section and drop it into the actual iterative phased in approach? So then it's more into the how-to than the standard and regulation.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know why I thought it belonged in here, but for some reason it did yesterday. Okay. Any other questions or concerns? Does this clearly state the intentions that we had previously discussed or the comments that have been in the Google Doc? Okay, silence is golden. Okay, the other one I wanted to go through is attachments. I know there were some comments going back and forth. What is it exactly that we're trying to say with attachments? And here is three bullets that I pulled out to try and convey what we were saying. So please read them and let's have a conversation.
I think Hans has a question, Tammy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hans.
Second bullet.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether, I think I understand the overall intent, but I'm not sure whether I followed the first sentence into the next where it states PA fire attachment process. That is, I'm challenged following the intent because I think whether it's CCA documents or fire documents as attachments, I think we have the same question where we talked about that it need not be a document. So maybe it is the PA, is it the PA fire attachment or is it the PAS fire data set approach that you're trying to indicate in that second statement? Well, currently it's a
PA. Yeah. Process. So semantic. So should it be like artifact, PA fire artifact process?
And is it done PAS?
This is what was written in the Google Docs. I just pulled it up.
The PAS is it's just prior authorization support implementation guide. That's the name of it. That's all.
Yeah. And I think what the PA there is in front of fire is meant to be PAS. Sorry, I'm not looking there. I'm looking at the second bullet at the end. Second bullet at the end.
Okay, well, I was just going to put this to the...
I think in the second bullet, the first line is good enough.
Yeah, and after that first sentence, there's a second sentence that says PA fire attachment.
We can remove the whole second sentence, actually. If you look at the first sentence, it conveys the point.
And in that case, perhaps... now I agree with Raj. Is that statement there, PA fire attachment process, that is, colon, is not needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so.
This modifies that.
Yeah, if we keep just the first line, and I don't think we need this the whole second line and the bullet points.
Yeah, the sub bullets you still need, they're helpful. It's just where your cursor is right now, you go to the left and remove that line. Yep, then I think it still works and agreed with Raj.
Yeah, so then you say that is, and then
yeah.
Okay. Any challenges to that or additional clarification needed?
Do we want to add or fire documents? Because either one, documents can be included. They need not be CCDA. They can be fire documents.
Okay. Where would you put the change verbiage?
Second bullet, main bullet, CCDA or fire documents.
Yeah.
We really don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other points that we made on attachments that I didn't catch? And I stuck this toward just EPA.
This looks good.
Yep.
Okay. Then.
No hands raised.
All right. Silence is golden. I know you guys are all vocal because I've seen your comments and really appreciate it. Okay, now, prior authorization roadmap to fire. I laid it out in I took that attachment piece out because we had said that the attachment would need to be a separate criterion. So that's why it's not in here. If you guys could review this and see if I caught the main points, recognizing, I know that we have some more specifications, specifics that we're still going back and forth on in the Google Doc. And also we have that functional spreadsheet as supporting recommendations. We will make a caveat around those, that those are just for directional purposes. So we won't cement that those requirements are the requirements, but we want to give directional requirements. So that's a caveat that will be made, but this is just the overall vision. Does this capture what we were all talking about? So I'll go through, I know this is a long piece, so I'll start with the first bullet. I'm just gonna have you read it. I'm gonna have you read the whole section first because it all kind of goes together, okay?
I think, Tammy, can you make document to data approach as document driven to data driven approach?
Okay. The second line, move from a document driven to data approach?
To data driven approach. Basically, we are saying, yeah, that's if everybody agrees.
Okay, I think that's just clarity unless someone has any other. Okay, I'm gonna go to the second bullet. We can come back. I just wanna make sure you read it.
Tammy, we might want for the metrics that we include there, just mm-hmm. to say, for example, you know, because I can imagine that the metrics would want to include, like, what are the percentage of prior auths that you can complete electronically?
Right here, you mean, for yeah. example?
Yeah, because it's not an exhaustive or complete list.
Perfect. So,
yeah.
Okay, here, this is a...
Hey, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
Can we make, and Raj, feel free to comment, but it's document to data driven, but it's also document to event and data driven, right? So things are happening based upon triggers as opposed to human or manual interactions. So I would propose that it's a document driven to a event and event driven and data driven approach. Is that reasonable?
I think you can say even comma data driven approach.
Yeah, but you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, because okay. Each prior auth required can be triggered at any event. So, yeah.
Got it.
Okay,
thanks.
Help me what I missed here. Data driven to an event.
You got it. You're done.
Oh, really? Okay.
You're brilliant, Amy.
I'll take it this morning.
Okay. You may want to look at that again on the editing, because like Tammy, I think it's a rough read. Just the comma after event.
I agree. It looks like something's missing. And then
at least move from a document driven
to an event-based data-driven approach.
Mm-hmm.
Event-triggered.
Or event-based and data-driven. It's coming. Yes. Then you don't.
Is it and or? Well, aren't we going data?
Both.
It's both. It's event and data driven.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it just, after driven, it needs to say approach. Yeah, there you go. Now it reads better.
It can't say and or. It's got to just say and.
Agreed.
I guess yeah. I'm not brilliant anymore, huh?
No, you redeemed yourself. You're good.
Okay, and before you move, and.
It's an and,
not or, and.
Yeah.
I like to be inclusive.
Yeah. Well, you can't. All right. So Hans also has his hand up on this part. So Hans, go ahead.
I went to second main bullet and the second sub bullet, but I can wait if you want to. I saw you.
Heather, you on the first bullet or second bullet?
I made the first the sub bullet of the first one. And actually, I thought that Cheryl's point was really good, that additional metric of the percentage of PAs that can be completed electronically. And I would like to add that as an example, because I think it's so important.
Percentage of PAs, what was it?
That can be completed electronically.
Electronically or automatically?
Automatically, I guess, I don't know. since we're talking about it in electronic
terms. How about digitally?
Yeah, digitally. digitally.
Well, the reason why I used the term automatically for a moment is that at least for a large percentage, the Da Vinci approach is to enable that at some point in time, a larger percentage, it does not require human intervention to gather the data, get the data, other than the initiation of it, and then go. Electronically, still would involve potential human intervention. So that's the difference that I'm making between the terms, and I'm not sure if it's helpful or not.
I think that's a good goal, but I don't know that, you know, initially you can go there, Hans.
Absolutely. I was just wondering whether we wanted to understand that progression as well, because that's going to save a lot of time too.
Are we happy as is, or change it to automatically, or?
No, I like the qualification because you did put it as an example.
Can you then change the IE to EG?
Example.
Oh, my grammar Nazis.
Sorry.
No. That's good. I'm teasing. David.
Yes. Where it says completed digitally, it should say that the determination has been made versus completed. The determination is the final state of the prior authorization.
Determined can be.
It's made digitally. Well, aren't we just kind of saying it's all finished?
I think we can wordsmith it.
Can we do this via Google Doc?
Yeah.
It's a good point. I don't mean it wasn't. It's just we got a lot here. Okay, here is, Eliola, did you,
I don't know if we really wanted to add this here and get into the specifics, but I do believe it's quite important that whoever does the evaluation is not the folks that are doing the implementation. And the evaluation, I mean, on cost savings and any ROI. So those should be distinct groups, in my opinion.
What change would you recommend?
No recommendation, maybe an addition that the evaluation of ROI should be done by a different group.
Yeah, maybe adding something about like independent, review and analysis or something. That's a good, really good point.
Right.
Okay, I'll wordsmith this and put it in the Google Doc so that we can continue to wordsmith it. But I think we got the main content, right? Hans, can we move on to the second bullet, or we still got more here?
Now, my comment is about the second bullet, second indent.
Thank you. All right, what you got?
The second indent states select certification criteria that only requires initially at the end. I think that's the same comment as the other one that would imply, at the end it says initially, that would imply that somebody might believe that one 8x10 is going to do everything. So I think at least the word initially should be removed. Still trying to figure out how to better phrase it or just copy roughly what we had in the other discussion.
I think it's in the next page. We talked about this.
I change this with that word, put that wording in here? Because I can drop that whole paragraph right in here.
Could do that, or maybe that's an offline, just making sure, but it's trying to make sure that the interpretation of initially, wherever that's used, is not implying that in the end, everything is a singular HIT.
Okay. I will drop in that thing up here, and then we can wordsmith it on it if you choose. I should just be up to that.
So adding the CAQH core timelines, what's the burden of that? I'm not aware of those operating rules. When we added in the first bullet, includes the CAQH core timeline.
The group had asked that we investigate as additional review to put in timelines around the certification that are in the CAQH core operating rules. Now, I didn't lay out the specific operating rules, which I'll cite it right to the PA. Is the group still agree?
That is good.
Okay, sorry about that. I ran out of time.
Are the CAQA's core timelines operating rules, are they applicable to a Firebase environment, or are they based on an X12 set of interaction flows?
It's going to be X12, but it's going to be like a response within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, something like that. So Fire should be a lot faster, but the point is it has to happen, right?
Yeah, it depends on which interaction we're talking about. That's 5 seconds might be too long, and other ones not because of the change in interaction paradigm that we have.
Hans, we'll get you the rule, and you can take a look at it, and then we can revisit this via Google Doc, okay?
Yep.
And if you have an aversion, then we'll bring it back for the conversation on Monday.
I just would be generally cautious that...
you look at it and check it out. That's kind of what the group had recommended, but we do need review. If anybody is concerned, we need to be specific. And I think what you're saying is we shouldn't say includes. We need a considers, right? That or reviews or something, a difference.
Yeah, we'll work with CAQH core to align. And then it can address whatever the variances are that it needs to address.
Okay, we'll play with that. Just everybody know we're still, this is on the parking lot in the Google Doc, okay? Rich?
Tammy, I'm a little unclear what kind of a timeline we're talking about. The subject of the main bullet and the sub-bullet talking about an iterative approach, but my understanding of timeline is we're really talking about response timelines after information has been sent.
I'll put what the actual rule is and cite it. I just knew it was timeliness of response, and I don't know exactly what. So I'll drop in the right rule. Yes.
So it's the timeliness of responses rather than the timing of phases of certification based on maturity.
Purely response times.
Okay. Maybe that needs a separate bullet then.
Yeah. I forget who had recommended that. And I believe it was in the EPA, the prior auth rule that was pulled back. These rules were included in that. So I can pull them from there as well. So good point. Sorry for the lack of clarity. Anybody have anything they disagree with or any additions to add clarity to this piece? Okay.
Maybe one question, and that's the last sub-bullet that states includes uniformity, et cetera. Was there any particular uniformity with future regulations? What are we trying to achieve? I'm not sure whether it's clear.
What was in there, and I took it off because there was a comment made about not referring to, to the TEFCA and other regulations here, but this was in regards to TEFCA, CURS, any regulation that's out there today and tomorrow to make sure that the certification falls in line with those timelines as well, right? Because we have to move together as an industry.
Do we want to say remains consistent with current and future? Because it's an ongoing...
Okay, start it with remains consistent.
Yeah, because I think if I hear you correctly, what we're trying to say is that as other regulations and voluntary TEFCA programs and whatever, as they unfold,
right,
want to maintain consistencies with that.
So just like this right here, remain consistent with current and future regulation requirements.
Yeah, if you drop that, would that work better?
Do we want to say something with time frames or timelines, or do you think it's all inferred that this would all be married together?
This sounds like this is ongoing. TEF is rolling out, new regulations come up. It needs to not conflict with that over time. So
Well, and the timelines need to be consistent too, right? So that, you know, like we're talking about payer, you know, the payer has to be able to send the information while the provider builds it. So, I mean, this all has to, we're in the building phase, but when we get to that, a mature state, we got to be able to exchange it.
Maybe then the word instead of remains is maintains consistency with current.
I like that. Anybody have any better word or?
Yeah, I think you can still have the word consistency or after the word maintains.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we happy? I don't see smiles. Come on, folks. Are we happy? All right. Now, this is the one that I thought we'd actually debate.
Hey, Tammy, sorry. Yes. I just saw in the chat, Alex had a good suggestion, and I was actually worried. I was thinking, what do we think about instead of like consistency, like alignment? That seems like a good word.
It works.
Just alignment or get rid of consistency?
I think alignment is good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for catching that. And thanks, Alex. Okay, this right here is something that we haven't talked on the call. We've been talking via Google Docs, how to manage a rollout. So please read these bullets, recognizing this is new with some additional comments on how to grapple with this rollout of PA across all the different provider settings.
I don't know if I would say no standards. You have no requirements rolled out until the standard has been tested. I guess I'm not understanding what that would mean. No requirements rolled out, because in order to facilitate the adoption and the scalability, we really need the standards, because what we have now is the Wild West, with, you know, lots of proprietary stuff going on. So I don't know if saying no requirements rolled out, I think maybe we need no certification enforcement or something. You know, it's not the requirements for the standards that are that we're saying need to be aligned over time. It's the how we're gonna adopt those. And maybe others, there's at least three hands up, so we can maybe get one of them to help me with the wording here. But what Tammy and I were thinking is that, you know, if we are setting out something that is more like an on-ramp, then how do we bring the various levels of provider maturity and EMR systems into that on-ramp? And it maybe could be through some sort of approach to phasing things in, but then I'm not sure what the target or goal should be in terms of certification requirements, because obviously the sooner we have a standard and then a certification of the HIT vendor to that standard, it's the level of adoption and the time to adopt that everybody will need a window, because not everybody has the resources, the dollars, the maturity to adopt it immediately. And I'll leave it with that. So first hand is Patrick.
Yep, I was gonna comment, not specifically on what you said, Cheryl, but the way that it's worded here is reminds me of the Big Bang approach. I know it says iterative, but I also think that we need to advocate for and support the fact that these individual components can be rolled out incrementally, right? We certainly want to get to the entire PA model, but that shouldn't mean that we can't roll out CRD or DTR or the individual components, as they're ready, so that folks can start receiving value and improving prior authorization incrementally while we're building up to the larger, hey, here's the full PA suite of capabilities that are in play.
is what revisions would you suggest, Patrick, to make that?
I was actually thinking it was going to be a sub-bullet. And admittedly, Tam, I hadn't like completely mapped it out. But,
and the question for you is, does the above infer that for this section, because that would be in place first? Do we need it here too?
I think both places.
Redundancy
is, great
because, is not a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be redundant because it does, it says fully functional PA workflow, right? And then it goes into, you know, inpatient and stuff like that. I think implementation of, and you can certainly wordsmith it later during the Google Docs, but the ability to roll out as implementation guides are thoroughly tested and ready for implementation.
The other way around, right? Ability to roll out into deployment as they are ready.
And so, I'm going to ask a question as you guys who have your hands up, because there are some vendors who are already talking about adopting like the PAS implementation guide without CRD and DTR. And I don't know how that would fully work, but to me, that would be more burdensome for the provider because some parts would be implemented and others. And since I'm not as familiar with the certified health IT program, I mean, to me, would we want to make a statement about the fact that I don't know if you certify one part, how that really helps the overall problem if you can't do all the parts?
Real quick, Hans, I'm sorry, let me quickly respond to that, Cheryl. I would say that it's not saying that you have to roll them out incrementally, but if you can bring these to market, you should. And transparently, some of these are already in production and are showing enormous value, not as with all three. I don't know that anybody has all three in play, but some organizations, including mine, has at least one of these in play and building others, and they're recognizing tremendous value.
Right.
Just as piece, yeah. Hans, sorry.
Yeah, I know. I was actually going to go the same path as Patrick, and within the ESRA, we discussed this as well. Where, for example, one approach, one alternative can be, which shows that you can do it in parts, CRD and PAS are more straightforward interactions. When you look at DTR, there's a lot of workflow, data gathering, other things that you need to do across the systems, more complex. So if you can already start to get value by doing CRD plus PAS, also with PAS. So I think that in those stages of the process could be tackled on their own and as starting points. So from that perspective, they could be used as examples there. There's another part on that always gets to the question, how do we get the intent and incentive to actually move forward? Here we are providing feedback on a certification-focused RFI, but I think we need to look at the total spectrum and say, what tools are in place to help move this forward as well? And then we actually need to look at the CMS rules as well and say, is that the combination of the two? What we have seen in the past is that there may be a functional requirement and a performance bonus on the CMS side, but not necessarily an associated standard on the certification side. There's also examples where on the certification side, one side of the equation has a certification to a set of standards, the other side interacting with it, not yet. So that there is a target that we know that some parties are developing to that standard. The other ones that are trying to figure out how to interact with it are now able to use that, but not be certified to it, yet they're still going to conform to the standard. Otherwise, they cannot connect. So there's a couple of different flavors and tools that, as long as we look at it between ONC and CMS, not just the certification program, that there are opportunities to help create a glide path and a roadmap that initially is not as heavy on certification of the capabilities, not necessary, or maybe only for some, but not all, that can drive at least a core of standards to be out there. And then in combination with CMS, get the right parties to say that, hey, if I do this, I get bonus points.
So Hans, are you suggesting your recommendation to this document or adding color to the comment?
The things, and I'm not sure whether we want to wordsmith here or follow that up. If there is a general sense for that, is that to recommend to ONC to work with CMS, that they balance out between the two parts, that they, A, look at the example you already have there, focus on particular stages, CRD, PAS, or et cetera, that should be okay. And that they also look at what can CMS provide as incentives to either payers or providers to start to take it on, but also look at where we want to encourage the use of the standard, because agreed, Michelle, we don't want to start with no standards, but how can you do that without certification for all? Can you look at one side of the interactions more to say that, hey, if these already start, then the others that have more complexities can work their way through it? So that's the direction that we're thinking of with a number of EHR vendors around that, and say, what permutations do you have?
Okay, this needs to be wordsmith, Hans, but did I capture the content?
Yes, I think that can help.
The content, yeah. Well, it needs help. But is anybody on the call have concern or have other content that needs to be in there to drive that point?
I think a little bit of what I was going to say, Tammy.
Ali, go ahead.
Last few comments actually related to this is that, like in the first bullet, we say iterative rollout plan that allows for the adoption. And I feel like that we maybe should wordsmith that, saying that the development of that iterative rollout plan, including a market scan, you know, which also I think relates to this bullet that Hans was suggesting, that there's a lot of work in just putting together the plan, right? And seeing who is in what stage of development and better understanding, you know, balancing out what CMS has or not. So does that make sense?
Yeah, am I catching it here?
I think so, let me see.
Am I catching? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Good call. If I could type right, environmental scan. Okay. So back to this bullet. And anybody in disagreement with Hans continuing to wordsmith it? Okay, hearing silence is acceptance. And then I can't imagine any of you guys would have an issue with Eliel's comment.
Yeah, the market analysis and environmental scan.
Market readiness? That includes a market readiness analysis? I think the point is just, you know, are we going to base this on the readiness of the criteria?
I think the other statements already includes the what we mean by iterative to rollout plan. I think we're adding more words here to qualify that. So what other market readiness we would think other than allowing the maturity to happen over the period of time? So we already said that in the second statement. So I don't know whether when we say market analysis and environmental scan, we are introducing two different phrases.
It almost is an out, right? If the implementation guides are ready to go, locked in, but people are not adopting them, does that mean the market is not ready?
What about?
I don't know what that
means. Okay, I may be misinterpreting what you're saying here, but I think this is a really good point that this rollout plan, it needs to occur when the plan is being rolled out, right? So you put in the criteria, the first phase of criteria, you're going to need to do a market analysis to see how that adoption is. Is it working? Is there another way to provide incentives or make sure that this or enforcement? I mean, putting it in that context, would that be, anybody have concern with that?
You're saying something like an informed and industry vetted rollout schedule, is that what you're?
Yeah, I like that, vetted.
Does that capture what you were trying to say?
It does for me. I'm not sure about anybody else.
Oh no, go ELE or LEL, and so I was nervous to say it because I really apologize. LEL, does this would this be a compromise that would work?
Yeah, I think so. I think the idea is like, you gotta get everybody together. Maybe the current vendors of systems, some of the payers, some key providers that wanted to collaborate to develop that plan together. You know, so that market analysis or market readiness is kind of that, getting everybody together. So,
I mean, do we want to say in collaboration with healthcare, with the stakeholders?
Yeah, I think that's good. Also, Raj has his hand up, so he may have something to add to this conversation.
Yeah, I think I'm on the second bullet. I think the second bullet and the second point, I think before independent, I think that whole second bullet, I have a feeling is that we're getting really prescriptive here. We could say, like, and I think Rich made a comment here, no mandatory adoption until the standards has been tested. We could change the first line a little bit like that, but the second line can be removed in my view, because how do we know when it is ready for, you know, for, to be very specific, like that statement.
You're suggesting we remove the second sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
Anybody have any comments on that?
Which second sentence specifically highlighted?
Yeah, that's not.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm okay with removing that.
Yeah, because that was an example anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can remove that, Tammy.
Well, and I think it's being captured right here. Yeah. Anybody have any issue? Again, just want to be respectful of comment.
I understand it. It seems like an example. Would folks feel like adding, you know, in parentheses, example, like this is an example of what we're talking about, just being clear. I get your point that this is, it's kind of a subset of the statement before, but this is an example of what we're talking about.
Anybody have any concern?
My worry is that it is very prescriptive, and one can interpret that we are targeting that message for certain ambulatory practices. We could probably generalize that example a little better. So,
well, we can e.g. the practice setting, right? E.g.
Yeah, probably.
And then it would parallel e.g.
ambulatory practices.
Ambulatory.
There you go.
Are you okay with that, Heather?
Heather, does that work for you? Okay. All right. Anything else on these bullets? Recognizing Hans, I love assigning people. Hans is kind of words for us.
I think on the third bullet, maybe Patrick and Hans, could we? Why don't we add CRD DTR as well? Because I see the I remember the discussion we had before, but I still believe that anybody can certify anything.
It was meant to be just an example of a combination of CRD and PAS. It could be, you said you still continue with DTR or you're already moving with that.
You're right. So we could add that and then
are we happy with this, with the caveat and related?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, last call, folks. Any more comments on this section? You guys are rocking it. Okay, I forgot now what I had left. I didn't think I'd get this far. Oh, I know what I wanted to do next. Sorry for the eye strain here. We did standards. The other one that we did not talk about is a governance. And something that was bounced around was creating a burden reduction subcommittee, similar to the ISA? What are your thoughts on this? Should this be included? Should it not be included? Should the content be changed?
When you say similar to ISA, you mean the Interoperability Standards Advisory?
Yeah.
There have been some thoughts tossed around. Is that on the one hand, there is the Da Vinci group that is progressing, has opportunity for participation in these guides, but that may be one subset of stakeholders. So that the notion of burden reduction subcommittee, quote unquote, I'm not sure what the right term is, but we've been talking about the notion of Kaizen event or something to help understand where we are at and how we're moving. So something along these lines, I think would be very helpful. So that, because if we say is that don't do it until something is ready, how do we determine it's ready? But I'm not sure whether that's a committee or whether that's a process or how to do that. I'm not convinced that the ISA, which is currently really a library with a general assessment of where things are at, whether that is sufficient to be the trigger to say is that it reached 4 out of 5 bullets on the rating, we are ready. I think there's a little bit more to that than that. So I like the overall idea.
And so you're thinking it's more important to list what this group should be focused on than actually, you know, listing it the way it is.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay. And we'll come back to specifics. Rich?
Yeah, I'm real fuzzy on a couple of terms here. Governance, what exactly are we governing? And the second concern is burden reduction subcommittee. Subcommittee of what? So I'm not sure where all this is fitting in. Are we talking about something under the auspices of ONC? Or are we talking more something industry-wide?
What would be your recommendation?
What it came from, Rich, just so you know, was when Tammy and I were having discussions about this, about do we need to have a subcommittee under high tech that's going to look at the bigger problem when the rule comes out. And so, you know, obviously we need to wordsmith this, but that was the original discussion.
Okay, I'll need to think about that.
So I think I agree with the intent here. I think we just need to figure out the right word. The maturity and adoption should be the key, whatever the oversight group we recommend. As long as the committee oversees the effort of maturity and adoption and then enhances the certification requirements over the period of time, that should be the oversight groups under ONC.
So keeping it a little bit more general.
Sure.
Is this kind of where the people that you had previous comments, create an oversight process with the MPRM that examines,
yep,
yada, yada, yada? Heather?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not sure, you know, the exact word to Rich's point, maybe governance isn't right, but I feel like there is kind of a operational oversight group needed for all the things we've just been talking about this morning. We were talking about, you know, that there's going to be testing, and to Eliel's point, you know, kind of one independent angle on that. So we're, you know, the data have been kind of independently reviewed, and then looking, you know, at each practice setting for each service, evaluating the viability and then you're ready to move on. And so in order for all this iterative approach, we need an oversight of this whole iterative approach that we're talking about. Otherwise, how's it going to happen, right? There needs to be an ongoing group that's evaluating this over time, say, okay, we're ready to roll out imaging, for example, in this practice setting, right? And how are we going to do that unless there's some kind of structure? It's just going to be stuck, right? And, you know, and just kind of let to languish, which obviously none of us want to happen because this is so important.
Anybody add any additional language or, let's start with make this easy. Anybody against adding a recommendation like this in our report?
So maybe we could wordsmith it to creating a standard adoption process to provide.
Well, it's more than standard adoption process, yeah. Right? Because we're talking about the functional criteria and the iterative roadmap.
Right. So
and we wouldn't be creating it, right? We'd be monitoring and advising.
Right, but we have to remember what ONC's role is, and maybe there's another group that has another role, but ONC's role, and I'm not the expert on this, maybe Alex or Michael can speak to it, but I do think that what we're really talking about is the adoption life cycle, and today for the certification requirements, we've rolled USCDI and others into the standards process, and we created an adoption process for adopting those data elements so we can have a maturity and a time requirement. So what we're talking about is really creating that standards adoption and oversight process, if you will, and I don't know if we can use the word oversight, that basically looks at how we adopt the maturity over time. And that's really what we're talking about.
And maybe on that comment that I was going to make is that this, maybe it is establish a review and advisory process. I'm not sure about oversight, whether that's the right term. Yeah. And this is just more look at it, have insight and provide recommendations on when we are ready for what.
I like that. Review and advisory process. And Ellie has his hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest an analogy here, maybe help simplify. So it's like on the TAFICA work and the determination of a recognized coordinating entity, I believe that's how they call the RCE. It seems to be an interesting model where folks that have the skill sets to build that plan and to then manage the rollout and everything we're talking about could be a good fit. I don't know if ONC itself would be wanting or can manage this, but someone, you know, like the RCE, I think in that case was the Sequoia project, but someone that's capable take the lead to roll this out.
Good point. Anybody else have any other comments on this piece? Okay, I think that is all I had. This is all just straight from the Google Doc. Okay, the other thing, what do we have, 10 minutes?
Yeah, we have about 14 minutes.
Okay, what I would love to do is create a caveat for the piece in the Google Docs that David dropped in. Let me find it. And address some of the issues that came up, because I don't want to get to Hans, because I know that's going to take more time. What part were you in? Was it? Sorry, shut your eyes. I'll tell you when I'm there.
1.3.
Okay, that's why I'm way on 5. How do I get, where's my page up? I'll tell you when I get there and you can open your eyes. How's that? Because I think what we just have to do is put a caveat, because we're not saying this is it. This is just a guide to be thinking, right?
And Tammy, if you are
right here
going around, you're not displaying your current window. You're the old.
We're back
at detailed recommendations, patient.
I take back my apologies because obviously I wasn't hitting your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
There we go. Now it's coming.
Now realize I didn't address people's edits are on this section. But I know that there was one overarching concern is if we're going to be giving specific criteria like this recommendation for points of certification or the last column in the Hansa's document that has that recommendation, we want to have a qualifier that we're not saying this is it, that it's just a guide. So is there any specific language that would make sense when we put these in as just an example in the report that would make everybody comfortable?
Sure.
I haven't thought about this, so I have nothing for you to react to, sorry.
So you can just, before points of certification, say possible scenario.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And I think between what David wrote here and what's in the spreadsheet, I think in the principles we are aligned and we have a couple of different examples of those. So maybe if we can somehow blend it, I'd be happy to work with David and you on that.
But would love it.
Yeah, clearly articulate them as examples and that we really are asking OMC or recommend that they work with DaVinci in the community to figure out what's the right level of granularity. This is just some initial thoughts, but clearly more work needs to be done with the right stakeholders at the table.
Yeah.
And part of it is going to be learning as we identify it, is that we think it's these 5 or 10, whatever, but as we actually get through the initial implementations, we see that the boundary may need to shift just a little bit or clarify whatever. So it's only meant to be examples, thoughts.
Right. And this model could also mature as the industry matures also.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so is following is a possible scenario example for ONC to work with DaVinci project and stakeholders to finalize the iterative plan leading toward adoption of the IGs?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll correct all this. And I don't want to say relevant, but in key stakeholders, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tammy, if I may add there on the stakeholders, maybe in parentheses, we spell them. I'm thinking in my head,
love it.
Of course, payers and providers and HIT developers, but then the reason I'm saying this is patients as well, because that could be an oversight and leaving them out. And I think it's very important that we get the patients' voices if such a setup comes together.
Love it. Any other thing? I thought that was important to have a caveat that we agree.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to go through this piece if Hans, David, and anybody else, maybe Patrick and Raj, want to go through and figure out what, if there needs to be 2 different recommendations.
Modifying this one, sure.
Yeah, does and help me because I'm not technical. Do we need this as an example? And do we need the spreadsheet as an example, or how do we marry this in the report to be clear and concise? I need your guidance on that.
We can work on that.
It may be, Tammy, too, that we might want to include the spreadsheet as part of the appendix, even though we draw the information out, include it in the report.
Perfect, yeah. And perfect. Well, and I'm thinking that we'd also put the Google Doc as an appendix as well, because there's a lot of wealth of information in there. But again, we're just trying to pull out and make this easy to read and our major points get expressed early on in the report.
All right, good Heather point. Has her hand up too.
Yeah, and I know this, the option one, this is kind of just an example, but I think it is really important that verbiage to add something like, so when a clinical provider submits an order for a service to be performed and for which the patient intends to use their insurance benefits, because we want to make sure that the CDS hook is not triggering when the patient wants to self-pay for the service. That's a big patient privacy issue. So I think we should put something in there about that. I'm happy to like wordsmith that.
You got it. Please do. Anybody have any aversion to that added clarity? Perfect. Now, the other thing we keep kind of going back and forth on this is the use of EHR native solution. And I had changed that wording because I totally understand if an EHR is the sole one doing it, obviously it would make it easier, right? But that's not reality across all the different workflow options. And so I had put where it's in the provider's workflow, because even if it's the EHR is partnering with the Smart on Fire or partnering with the revenue cycle, it's still going to come through, right, as a seamless workflow for the providers. That's the end goal. Am I missing your point, David? Or are you just saying only in the instance when the EHR does everything, then those?
So you're talking about the best option where
which
is above
this.
Where you're at. It's not in the same section. It's higher.
Okay.
A different section. Section 1.1.
Okay. So maybe I'm misunderstanding.
And I added some content in there to describe.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that.
My comment.
Okay. Well, do you mind just giving us the flavor of it?
Yeah. So this is really saying that the EHR developers are the ones that are going to know the systems the best. Where the data is stored, the contents of the data, be able to develop the most, dynamic or most integrated solution for the providers. I'm just saying it's the best option from that point of view, not by far the only option.
Any comments on that?
I'm
Patrick has. I'm sorry, yeah. I didn't see your hand blending into the books.
Actually, my hand up was on for the previous thing.
Oh,
oops. Tammy, I mean, we can stay here on David's point, but the word native to the EHR, the best option to have the functionally native to the EHR. I think if we say the EHR is in the best position to understand the visualization and the interactions within workflow, absolutely. I'm not sure that needs to be called out, but
that would better explain what I'm trying to say there. Yep.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Where I was going with this, and David, you and I were going around all the weekend on this one, is if are we saying, and I know Raj, myself, Hans, and Dave are going to take this offline and wordsmith it, that these are examples. Like I get nervous when we say in this document that we should be allowing an EHR must allow access to reading and updating workflow queues. Why would we be calling that out in this document? That really should be an implementation guide? Or are we just saying this is an example of what an implementation guide should have? I'm not sure why this level of detail is in this document.
And perhaps to add to that, some of those, why is that even in an implementation guide? Because some of that, it's entirely up to the HIT that's managing that part. Could be the EHR, could be the Smart App, could be some other system that manages that part. Is that how best to do that in context of what else they do? Right. So I think the focus of the of these guides and what we do and certification is on the interaction. We communicate consistently. We know what it means, but how the other system then takes advantage of that, we have to be very careful getting
right.
In that's early days EHR meaningful use that was done to a greater lesser extent, but there was more done. And what you've seen is over time we really shifted to an interoperability focus. Make sure we can talk. but don't prescribe how each side on that conversation does what they need to do.
Well, and one thing, David, I really appreciate you dropping this in, because, and Hans, you made a really good point that we have to be specific, right? And the question is, how specific can we be to add the clarity to move forward? So I think your guys is coming up with a good directional, flow will really help provide guidance in our report. Raj?
I think that's what I would say. I think we have to work on this outside.
But Raj, you would have said it better. You can say it again.
No, I was just thinking that we said really nicely the capabilities, the workflows and settings. That's where we should state what, at what level. The how is already defined in implementation guides. So if we redefine in any sense, as example, if there is a discrepancy between that and implementation guide, then we are introducing a whole new set of problems. So I love the structure here, but I think we just have to be a little careful. So.
Right.
But would you agree that if we can give an example, recognizing, all the different flavors, and, just say, this is not it. You have to go to the implementation guides, but show the clarity depending on how the vendors are working together.
Yes, yes.
That would help those of us who are not as technical as you and need that guidance to understand, where you guys are coming from.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We will work on
that. So don't get rid of it, because this is good stuff, but it has to be in a way that it's not being prescriptive, right?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. And maybe this belongs more in the implementation guide or pointed to what, the content of the implementation guide talks about, this portion.
Well, I think you're adding clarity to Hans's presentation. And I think you guys working together will come up with a good consensus. Is these are the visuals. These are how all the different HIT vendors can work together. Here's an example of how it has to be looked at working with DaVinci and the implementation guides. This makes more sense to me on how each party engages.
Okay. We're about at time for public comment, and we have a couple hands being raised.
Okay. Hans and Heather, and then we're done. How's that?
Okay.
I completely agree with Dave that a lot of this should end up in the implementation guides, because they ultimately are currently too big to understand what piece makes sense. If I have a particular HIT configuration, that's a good place to describe that, to identify the relevant interactions for that particular connection. I completely agree with Dave. That's where it needs to end up. This is just an example of what it could look like.
Heather, make it good. You're the last comment for today.
I am just picking up the thread of David and Hans. I think that's a great point. I'm wondering I think there's good stuff here. If there's stuff here that we think should be detailed in the IMP guide, is there a way or a place for us to do that? If there's granularity we think needs added to the IMP guide, realizing it's out for ballot right now, is there some place that this task force can put this in recommendations? Just a question.
Well, we're fortunate to have several DaVinci members. Yep. So
I'm signed up on the ballot, and I'm registered to submit any comments I want to. So, yes.
Yeah.
Good point. All right. Take it away. Public comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks, Tammy and Cheryl. We're going to pause here for public comments. You are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. Let's pause to see if we have any public comments. I am not seeing any public comments at this time, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs. Cheryl, Tammy?
All right. Thank you. So, Tammy, do you want to go over the homework? Because you've already been assigning things.
I would love to. I love assigning. Hans, if you don't mind going back and wordsmithing that additional bullet, would be deeply appreciative. David, if you don't mind taking the lead with Hans, Patrick, and Raj, and anybody else, and come up with what is that consensus piece that we should drop into the report, recognizing we will add the attachment, the Excel spreadsheet attachment at the end, and pull out that relevant information and drop that in the report as well. And just the rest of the group, hang tight. We will hopefully have a report for you to review by Monday. Cheryl, can I say that?
Yes, Monday, 10 o'clock. And also hopefully shortly after we'll have created the presentation, because we will present the report to High Tech once we get their final comments, and our presentation will be next Thursday on the 10th. And so unfortunately we have a very tight timeline for all of this. And Tammy, when are you going to want these guys to have their final edits in? Because we'll have to cut and paste the information into our report, and then also attach our transmittal letter, which I've already started working on.
End of day. No. if tomorrow? There's any way on Friday, if you guys can hammer that out. Cheryl and I are devoting most of our Friday to getting the report in a format that you can review and make it more digestible. That would be helpful if you guys need the weekend, early Monday. But we're kind of at the point that if we can get this done quickly, be appreciative. Is that doable, folks?
Generally, but the question is, when will you take the, while David's Patrick and Raj and I have the Google Doc already for the examples, when will you have the Word document you are working on into Google so that we can collaborate on some of those bullets that we have assignments on?
Can you do that right after this meeting, Tammy?
Yes. Okay. Let me think about how I will put it in the Google Docs. And I'll send an email out to the group when I figure that out.
Okay.
Because I think I'm going to just drop it into the report, Cheryl, instead of creating another
document. Yeah, the report is already out there. And does everyone, I don't know if everybody has the ability to go in and make changes to it other than you, though.
Okay.
We'll have to clean that up with
Michael. I will email, I will send a Word copy to David, or to, I'll send a Word copy to you guys to take a look at, but we will have the report available by end of day on Friday.
I'm able to access it from my personal computer.
Okay. Yeah, same here. Okay.
And do you guys need anything? So you need the document that I'm working on now that I pulled the bullets from the Google Doc. So I'll send that in Word to you guys, recognizing I want you to save any edits or changes until you see it in the report. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we'll put it in the report. Then we'll email them tomorrow with the link to the Google Doc so they can go in and do some wordsmithing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
I didn't think homework would be the most controversial.
Yeah. And then Monday we'll be able to show the report to the work team.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yep. That sounds good. All right. Okay. Heather, hand up.
Just a process question. So after, you know, we review the report on Monday and there'll be presentation slides, and then there's the presentation High Tech next Thursday, I guess. Do we look at things again, or when is our last pass at things? I just wasn't sure if we'd look at it again after comments from High Tech are received.
We won't really have the opportunity to because of the deadline for the RFI. So we really will have to have it ready to go forward after our presentation on the 10th. Now, it may be that there's a couple questions or whatever that people have that we may have to clean up some areas if that's the case. You know, Michael, you correct me, but I think by Friday, we really have to have the transmittal to ONC, right?
Right. The High Tech will vote, and it's a majority vote that will adopt the recommendations, and then it'll be transmitted to Mickey for his review on, like you said, Cheryl, likely on Friday.
So we really won't have another stab at it either, other than in the high-tech meeting itself. Yeah.
And that's for high-tech members only, just to be clear. The task force members are certainly welcome to join as members of the public. The registration link's on our website, but the discussion and vote will be amongst the high-tech members, five of which are in this task force.
Just to restate and clarify, because there's still some comments in the chat, the Google Doc will be available to the subcommittee tomorrow after Tammy and I cut and paste everything in, and we're doing work session tomorrow morning to try and get that accomplished.
Thanks for the clarification, Cheryl, because as I think a few of those noted, some of this goes to our work accounts and some of it goes to our personal accounts to edit Google. So we got to make sure that we get the appropriate notifications to get in there.
Yeah, and that's true too. I'll make sure that all of the current accesses are provided that are needed for the Google final document, because I have that same issue. I can't get it from work.
Thank you.
Is it doable, or do you need Word versions? Just need the heads up.
Google Doc only, please. Let's
not share Word.
Yeah, it'll be too hard for us to manage copies, and we don't have enough time. So
yeah, no, all comments need to be in the Google Docs, not the other. The other is just to review it and get comments together earlier.
Perfect.
Okay, well then, thank you everybody. Really appreciate everybody's expertise and input and active participation. This has been a pleasure, and you guys have a great weekend looking at these documents.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.